We're going to jump to the topic. Well, maybe we'll continue the topic, or at least for tonight. What happens in the case of Safek Bracha? The case of doubt, if you're not actually sure if you actually said a bracha on something, and this week it's been terrible for me, saying a bracha Rishona, I usually remember. The question is, I say to myself, did I say a bracha Achrona? So the other day it happened to me where I'm eating something and say, okay, I got to say a bracha Achrona. Then I said, I don't know if I had enough to say a bracha Achrona. So I go and eat more. And then I forget if I even said a bracha achrona again. So I'm like, what did I accomplish here? So it's very important that when we're eating, we have deliberate thoughts in eating. And when you have deliberate eating thoughts, you'll know when to actually say a bracha achrona. That's obviously a big issue. Certainly bracha rishon is a bigger issue, but we're going to give you the different eitzes, different ideas to do if you're not sure if you said a bracha achrona. Now, if anybody knows Pesukei Dezimra by heart, and you know the paragraph Vayivarech David by heart, you have an easy way out. But let's assume you don't know that by heart. We'll give you the general ideas of what you can do in a scenario where you don't know what the if you said a bracha. So if a person's eating, and you have the apple in your hand, and you ate, and you don't know if you said a bracha, what do you actually do? So we know there's a concept called Safek Brachos Lahakel, since brachos are in general drabanan, excluding Berkas HaMazon. So Safek Brachos Lahakel would tell me, I don't make a bracha again. It's, I don't want to say Hashem's name again. It's a drabanan, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go and repeat it. So, given that the situation, you can say I'm off the hook. I have an apple. I already ate from it. I have no idea if I said a bracha. I'm off the hook. That is true. You're off the hook. However, it's important to note the opportunity to say a bracha is also some element of saying Hashem's name for positive things. So what people try to do is if they're not sure if they say a bracha, they try to make sure they do whatever they can in order to be able to say a bracha. So how do you deal with this scenario? So we mentioned to you, if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. But what you try to figure out a way to be able to say a bracha rishona. This is four, basically, or five ideas of what you can do if you're not sure if you said a bracha rishona. First thing that you can do is, you can find another food that you didn't have included in your bracha rishona, and go ahead and make a bracha on that. So you're eating an apple, and you're eating the apple, and then you realize, oh, did I say it? So you go over to the fridge and you grab an orange because you had no intention to eat that orange. You're going to say a ha'etz. The ha'etz is going to cover your orange and your apple, and you can continue eating your apple. Okay? Whenever you're dealing with Safek Brachos, my daughters came home from school. I don't know if I shared it with you. They brought home a pill box. You know, a pill box got 7 days in it, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? In that pill box is 7 days of different brachos. Okay? Meaning each day has a different bracha. So it's like, and they relabel instead of Sunday through Thursday, Saturday, it's, you know, Mizonos, Ha'etz, Hadama, Shahakol, whatever else is available. So if you're sitting there and you're with a salad and you go, I don't know what to do with this salad. What am I supposed to do with the salad over here? So you go, oh, it could be it's Ha'etz, it's Hadama. Quick, let me grab my pill box. You open up your Hadama, you make Hadama. You open up your Ha'etz, you make your Ha'etz. You open up your Shahakol, you do all these things. And this way you make sure you covered all your blessings. That's how people oftentimes do it. So if you're faced with a chocolate bar, you don't know what to do with that chocolate bar. Is that chocolate bar going to be Ha'etz? Is it going to be Mizonos? Is it going to be Shahakol? So oftentimes what you do is you'll get something that has each one of those brachos and make those brachos actually separately. So in a scenario, I have my apple. I'm not sure if I made the bracha or not. Let me take something else that has Ha'etz. I'll take a grape. Something small, so make that bracha. Okay, that's one way out. The next way out, what you can do is, you find somebody else who's going to make a bracha on something. Now that somebody else has to eat of the food. When it comes to berachos hanen and pleasurable items, someone else has to make the bracha. So you have your apple, you go, I don't know if I said it, and there's nothing else. I can't find anything else that I'm going to eat. So I go over to somebody else, and say, oh, can you do me a favor? Can you make you're about to eat food, or can you make a bracha on this and have me in mind? That's okay. You might even ask him to take a bite out of your apple. If you like that, if you're okay with that, most people wouldn't have that. Most people say, oh, you're making a bracha on your apple, can you make it and have me in mind? That's the second most easiest way that a person can actually fulfill it. In a scenario where those two are not available, so then you have another concept called shinai makom, and that is, you leave the place where you're eating. Shinai makom is a difficult sugya, but basically means that whenever you're eating, you're koveya, you establish a place. Once you establish that place, that's where you're eating. If you leave that closed area to somewhere else, you'd need to make new brachas. Let's take an example. Mati's house. Mati is eating an apple. He's not sure if he said the bracha. If he goes to his backyard is entirely enclosed, and therefore it's considered part of his house. So then in that scenario, he's not going to make a new bracha there. He didn't change his place. It's part of the same place. But if Mati walks out of his front door, and he passes over his eaves, even if he's standing on his front lawn, that's considered a new makom. That's a new place. And therefore he would now need to make a new bracha. If he needs to make a new bracha now, once he goes back into his house, he can make that bracha on that apple again. Not a problem. This is a problem in general. If you're eating and doing something and you walk out of your house, okay, keep in mind, you might be requiring yourself to make a new bracha. So if a person's eating something, he has to go check the mail or do things. Generally, we tell a person you should make a bracha achrona first, then go outside, and then come back in.
What about on the shul, where if you walk out, you're still in the meat?
So if you're in this gate over here, so it's a question if you're in the building and then you go outside. If you're in the outside gate, then you're okay. The question is this house, this room, different than the gate? That is a good question. But if you're in the overall gate, then it's okay. So the question comes out that they discuss that if you're in an amusement park, you go to Knott's Berry Farm, you go to Six Flags, the entire place is enclosed. So the whole thing's enclosed. It could be it's all one bracha there. But then many discuss, wait a minute, if I go into another room, another building there, it's enclosed, I'm in a new place entirely. So that's why I'm not going into that part of the halacha. But the point is that if you're in a place where you're enclosed from house to backyard, generally we consider that the same place, no new bracha. But once you got to the front, outside of the enclosed area, you'll need to make a new bracha. So when you're in a case of doubt, what you do is, I'm going out the front door, take a break, go out the front door, and then come back in, new bracha. So we just gave you three examples of how you can make a new bracha. And then when a person cannot do that, then they give you one more eitzah, which is the most difficult one. And that is difficult in understanding, is you think the bracha. You don't open your mouth, you actually think the bracha. And that would be enough for you to say as if I did the bracha. So in a case where you're not sure if you said it, sometimes you can only think the bracha. And you're saying, Baruch Atah Hashem with Hashem's name, but you're only thinking it, you're not mouthing any of it, that might be okay. Then they give you the final idea. Final idea is the one I can never remember, because you got to know the pasuk by heart. I asked if you know Pesukei Dezimra by heart. This is the final one. The final one is like this, that if you're not sure if you said a bracha, then what you do is you say the paragraph of Vayivarach David that we open up right before Az Yashir. And it says as follows, Vayivarach David as Hashem, le'enei kol ha'kal. You're familiar with this. Hashem, and David blessed Hashem before all the people. Vayomer David. And David said, Baruch atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Avinu me'olam v'ad olam. Sounds very similar to a bracha. So if you open up, it says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Avinu me'olam v'ad olam, Varpur 8. So you actually say the pasuk from Vayivarach David, which has the same terminology as a bracha, even though it's actually not a bracha. You're mentioning Hashem's name, you're mentioning Melech HaOlam, you're mentioning those things. So they say that that would actually constitute a bracha. What you're doing is you're quoting a pasuk, and you're actually just saying, and David went and blessed everybody, and he said the following, Baruch Hashem L'Kesel Avinu Me'olam V'ad Olam, and you finish off your bracha, Barper 8. Even though obviously that's not part of the pasuk itself, but then that's how you do it. So that's a leeway. If you're not sure if you said it, since you don't know it by heart like me, maybe some of you do, you would open up your siddur, read that line. When you read that line, you finish off with the bracha of what you're looking for, what you need, hadam, hay, shach, or whatever it is, and then you'd be able to go ahead and eat the food. So those are your four different ideas that you have in order in a case of suffic bracha. Obviously, the more focus we have, the less we'll forget about it, but it happens to everybody on this.
Brachot for food is only for Jewish people, or if I eat with my neighbor, I can goy, I can have him do it too.
Can you have them do a bracha? So the Shulchan Aruch says that if a non-Jew makes a bracha, you can answer amen to a bracha, so he can do it. He's no,
can you tell him to do it?
I don't know.
If I buy an apple, I give him an apple, I say, God bless.
It's a good question. It's a good question, because the Shulchan Aruch says, if a non-Jew says a bracha, b'shem u'malchus, and he uses Hashem's name, yeah, and you can answer amen, on the condition that you hear the bracha from beginning to end. The reason why is because if you don't hear the bracha from beginning to end, you don't know what he's going
to
finish off with.
To bless?
Yeah. Huh?
Can you teach a goy to bless?
It's a good question. It would seem that it's okay, because we allow you to say amen to his bracha if he's doing it. According to the Rambam, a goy is an enu mitzvah v'yos, and he may be able to accept for excluding certain things, like Shabbos and certain things, that he can fulfill certain mitzvos there. So should you be teaching him is a great question. Can you? Sounds like you would be able to if he's able to actually say a bracha. Sounds like you'd be able to say a bracha.
Like at work, if I bring food, I ask everyone whoever it is.
It's a good question. The reason why it's a good question is because you're not allowed to teach a guy Torah. The question is this teaching him Torah? That's the question. It doesn't sound like it's teaching him Torah. You can't teach him the background behind it. You can't say, oh, you know, today was Lag B'Omer. Let me tell you what we have about Lag B'Omer. No, that you can't teach him. because that's Torah Shabbat Peh. You know, how to teach him anything, only Torah Shabbat Peh. Sounds like teaching a bracha might be okay, but again, it is a dinder abanan that we have a bracha Rishona. So that's why it's questionable. But the Shulchan Aruch does say that if a guy does know the bracha, you can say amen to it. We'll just close with a story. Some of you might have heard the story. So a number of years ago, I got called for the following thing. I got called for an upshirin. Some of you know the story, but I got called for an upshirin that the grandmother is Israeli, and the daughter is Israeli, and the husband is far from Jewish. Far from Jewish, doesn't look Jewish in any sense of the means, for many different reasons. I came to the house to do this thing, to do this upshirin, and probably the last mitzvah this family had done was a bris milah. And now it's 3 years later, and we're at an upshirin, and they show me this young three-year-old kid with this huge afro, and the father has tattoos, the mother has tattoos all over their body. And so I'm like, I am definitely the odd man out over here, and I'm doing upshirin for this kid. I'm like, does anybody else care? Like, what's going on over here? This became like the thing, that they need to do upshirin. So you do an upshirin. So at the end of the upshirin, I say to the parents, I want to give them a bracha, you know. So how do you give them a bracha, their kid, they're so far off. Ham sandwiches all over the table at the upshirin. Everything is, you know, everything is totally trafe, right? But they have an upshirin, right? Beautiful.
So, and cheese,
right? Ham and cheese, but that's okay. It's the same issue. No problem. Same issue. Same issue. I asked them to bring Chol Yisrael cheese. So at the end, I give them a bracha, and I say, you know, you should be blessed to bring up your son to be able to walk in the ways of God, and he should find his right path to do the right thing in the eyes of God and the eyes of the people. And, you know, should be able to, you know, I think I even threw in the word mitzvah over there to keep Torah and mitzvahs. And then the husband says to me, and I bless you that you should have this and all these good things in the name the Lord JC. Right? And he spelled out Johnny Crockett's name. He spelled out Jesus Rice's name. Right? And he spelled out his name, and I just said, uh-huh. Right? I'm not going to say amen, you know, but you have to be careful. If a guy gives you a bracha, you got to make sure who he's blessing. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. If he makes a bracha, you have to make sure that he finishes from beginning to end, and you know that he's mentioning Hashem, and actually nobody else in the bracha, because otherwise you can't say amen to it. You can't say amen to an apikoros's bracha either. You can't, right? So you have to know that if someone does not believe in God, someone believes in another deity, or if something else denies the existence of God, you can't say amen to their bracha, but if they do believe in Hashem, then you would be able to say amen to their bracha.